And we welcome back to Freedom Radio, Tim Brown. Good evening, sir.
Great to be here again.
Special series of questions to ask you.
Okay.
We're going to focus tonight on that wonderful concept of building a mosque within eyeshot of Ground Zero. What can you tell me about that?
Well, it took me a bit by surprise last week when the when a committee of the community board unanimously voted in favor of this wonderful project.
Tell us what this committee is.
Well, the community board one is a political group that represents Lower Manhattan. The full board did not meet on this yet, but a committee of 12 at the community board one saw the presentation by the imam and, from all accounts, jumped up and down and said what a great idea it was. He basically pulled the wool over their eyes, and they all bit onto that hook.
Tell us who he was and what promises he made that brought about that surprising result.
Well, Imam, you have to understand, Imam Roof is he's an imam downtown. He has currently a mosque north of Ground Zero, and he claims that he has too many followers and too many worshippers. They've outgrown their space. So they've been using this building, the old Burlington Coat Factory, as extra space for, I guess, the last couple of years. But now they have this grand plan to build a 13-story, $100 million mosque, which he denies it's a mosque with his words, but right on his own website it says it's a mosque. He is calling it a community center. And this is how he was able to, I think, get by the committee, was because he promised the community all these wonderful things. Swimming pools, meeting rooms.
For everybody, no doubt.
Yeah, open to all faiths and all of the above. When I asked him, I met him now twice, and when I directly asked him, will this community center be Sharia compliant, he stumbled. And he said, no, that really is really just the Sharia financing, which means it's been approved by someone of their religion. The problem with that, he finally admitted that this space would be Sharia compliant. And what that means is that the women will not be able to wear short shorts. Men and women will not be able to use the swimming pool at the same time. It begins encroaching on our freedoms already. And he's already admitted this to me. This is going to go a lot further because he's hiding the truth of what this is going to be. Our community centers of different faiths in the city, in Manhattan, you have the Y and you have Jewish community centers, you have Catholic community centers, things like that. So that's what he's trying to pass this
off at. But in that is the highest real estate probably in the world.
Right, yeah. I want to back up a little bit because there's very serious questions here about the financing.
Right.
He paid $4.85 million in cash for the property. Now, I've asked him on two separate occasions on television, where did that money come from? And he has dodged the question both times. His answer to that question is it came from the community. And he will not get more specific than that. We feel, the people that I'm working on this with feel, that this money is probably coming from a foreign country that has provided 80% of the financing for the 1,200 to 1,500 mosques throughout the United States.
Saudi Arabia, Yemen, any of the above.
Yeah, Qatar and UAE. So, and the other name that keeps coming up is Malaysia in this specific project. We suspect the reason he paid in cash is because he's hiding where it came from. You know, we're going to continue pursuing that angle of it. I don't understand why he has to put the mosque there.
Well, that was part of my question about why are there other community centers in that area?
Yeah,
I'll have to look into that. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to check that.
Just in my mind, the first day I started thinking about this when I realized what was happening, the thing that came in my mind is that this is a Trojan horse being rolled into our most sacred ground.
Right.
And he's a very, very smart man, and he's doing it in a way where he thinks or thought he would not get that much opposition. There are two organizations behind it. It's his organization, which he's calling the Cordova Initiative, and the second one is the American Society for Muslim Advancement, or ASMA, and that's his wife, but he's the religious leader for that one also. So both organizations are controlled by him. His wife is Daisy Khan, and she says her her job to approach and reach out to people who are opposed to this and try to show them what our community and what our message is really all about and answer their questions. So I told the imam that I have several questions for him, the first of which I've already said to you, was where did the cash come from? The second one is, where is the $100 million going to come from to build the 15-story mosque? Will it be Sharia compliant, which he's already admitted to me that it will be? And then following that whole Sharia law, the Sharia law is a clear and present danger to the United States of America, because the United States of America stands for freedom. And Sharia law does not allow for freedom unless you are a follower of Sharia and you're male. I actually asked him point blank, can a woman wear a bikini in the pool if she wants to? And he said yes, which I
under
think is
their veil.
Yeah, well, that might be right. That might be right.
But if a person, if it slips off, whatever, it's part of their face show, their ankle show, or some, I don't know what their idiosyncrasies
yeah.
are. And will they then be subject to a stoning?
Yeah, well, that's, see, you understand. And just in case people don't understand, Sharia law condones violent and oppressive treatment of women, of children, of gays. If you are Sharia compliant, you are obligated. It's not optional. You are obligated to wage holy war or jihad against the infidel, which I am. I am the infidel. So he would be required to wage war against me, just as they did when they murdered all our friends at Ground Zero, at the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania. And you either need to convert to Islam, pay a protection tax, or it is their duty to kill you. I mean, they're hiding this very well so far. We're going to expose them. We're going to go after them on a number of fronts. We're going to follow the money. We suspect the money is coming from the North American Islamic Trust, NAIT. And the problem with that is that it is a sister organization, very tied, that some of their board members are on each other's boards, with the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 2007 Holy Land terrorism trial, ISNA was named as an unindicted co-conspirator.
Isn't this reason enough to not allow them to build it?
Well, the public needs to know these things. They've been trying to slip this through for a while now. The best thing that could have happened is that the media found out about the unanimous decision of the community board, because now a great movement has started against this happening.
The history of Islamic war against Western societies and Western religions, when they see themselves as having had a victory in a certain area, one of the first things they do is build a mosque.
Right.
Is that not correct?
That is correct. And actually what we were saying the other day was that if that bomb in Times Square was successful, they would have already been planning the mosque there. So this is a pattern. This is what they do. I think he just doesn't want to build a mosque there. I think he wants to turn the whole community into a Muslim community as a victory.
This is just a very large camel's nose under the tent.
This is more than
a good start.
That's right. He's never going to build this mosque there. New York will not allow it to happen. And America will not let it to happen. He claims he has everything he needs. He has the rights. He has the air rights. He has everything, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it.
But he
hasn't met us yet. We will stop it.
I know the answer myself, but just for the sake of talking about this, because it needs to be discussed, the people that gave their lives on that day and their families who have lost every day, lose another part of their life, they'll never be the same. And the children that have never seen their parents, will never meet their parents.
Yeah.
We'll have to walk past this place, which is a monument to the victory of Islamofascism over Western civilization.
That's right. And when we go down there with the families and their firemen and cops who lost so many friends, go down there to have some peace and some remembrance of those we lost, we will hear Allahu Akbar through the alleys, because it's only two blocks away. The same words that were uttered right before they crashed the planes into the two towers, the same words that were shouted before the plane went into the Pentagon.
Well, this, in a way, could be a great thing, because it might bring about and bring to the courts the issue of Sharia law in America and put it to rest.
I hope it is in direct conflict with our Constitution. It's in direct conflict with what America is all about. It is the opposite of freedom.
It certainly is. And where is the left screaming and yelling about women's rights? Here, right in the heart of New York City. You know,
absolutely.
all the lefty Manhattanites.
Yeah. An interesting thing, Deputy Chief retired from the Fire Department, Jim Richies, and I are virtually always on the opposite side of issues. He was on when we did the terror trials, which we continue to do. He was for the terror trials in Lower Manhattan, and I was against it. On this issue, we are together. So I think this issue will actually unite a lot of the left and right.
And we are speaking with Tim Brown of thebravest.com. And, Tim, where can people go on thebravest.com? What can they find out about how to help with this?
There are a couple things happening. On May 25th,
mm-hmm.
there is a full meeting of the Community Board 1 in Lower Manhattan that we are going to go to voice our opinion. And then on June 6th, this is the important one, June 6th mm-hmm. is a large rally downtown. This is going to be publicized widely. There's going to be a large rally against the mosque being built with five or six organizations sponsoring and in support of it. And this is just the beginning. We're just firing a warning shot across the bow that this will be something they will have to expect for the next 2 years as they try to move this project forward.
We're going to try and see. You did a great interview on Fox, and we're going to try and see if we can put that up. But in that, you allowed the I can't think of his name. Forgive me.
The Imam.
Yes, thank you, Ross.
Yeah.
You allowed him to. You hung back and allowed him to hem and haw that Sharia law would or would not be the rule.
Yeah, he said a lot of things there. There were more questions that I wanted to get in that we didn't have time for. Mm-hmm. But the important thing was the Sharia law question. And
it is.
He ducked it. He did admit that it was Sharia, but he said, Sharia financing's fine. You know, don't worry about Sharia financing.
Makes it impossible to trace nearly.
Yes. Well, so far, he has not answered the most important question, where did the money come from? And we are going to trace it. We are going to find. We have researchers on all this. We're gonna find out where the truth is on this. We're gonna put pressure on some of these organizations that have funded him in the past, who I'm not gonna mention right now. But he's come out in public, and some of them are some of our biggest nonprofits in this country.
Do you know ISNA, the unindicted co-conspirator that you mentioned earlier? Do they have ties to CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood?
They do, and I'm not an expert there. We have people that are experts in that area, and they tell me, yes, they are. If you trace the lineage back, they came out of the Muslim Students Association back, which is CARE. it's all tied. They keep reinventing themselves, trying to hide things and distract. We're not going to allow them to do it. We're pointing the finger at them.
It's like a magic trick. Look at this hand. So you don't see what the other
hand
is doing. Yeah.
There's one thing. I want people to. This guy comes off as a very nice guy, Imam Ralph. He comes off as soft-spoken, and his heart is in the right place, and all this. But I want people to remember back in 2001, a cleric named Anwar al-Awlaki said in one of his sermons, this is in 2001, after the attacks, he said, "We've come here," meaning to the United States, "to build, not to destroy. We are the bridge between Americans and 1 billion Muslims worldwide." Okay, so that's what he said in 2001. And where is he now? He's the first American ever to be targeted for death by the CIA, and he's hiding in Yemen.
Wow.
And they, exactly what you said, they wave their right hand and say, "Look, look, look," and with the left hand they're doing something else.
It's frightening. But what's really great is that there are people like you and so many others who give up their time and attention and take time away from their families when they could be living in a world of happy delusion and making sure that Americans become aware of these things. And it's
We can't sit back on this because they will run us over and we'll be living under Sharia law before you know it. I don't want that for my family, my future generations. I don't want that for any American.
Well, we are speaking with Tim Brown of the Bravest, veteran of the FDNY, and people can go there to hear your story. There is an icon there for you to click on that has recorded Tim's story of 9/11, and it's well worth listening to be reminded of what this is all about, and to remind what our enemy is capable of, because we need to be reminded.
We've had it happen to us already in 2001, and we've been very lucky, especially right here in New York City. We've been very lucky over the past 8 years that this hasn't happened. And right now, we are probably about as tense of a city as you could be because of what happened last week. It's brought back a lot of very bad memories. People here are nervous. Even though we have the greatest police department in the world, they can't do it all the time.
And that indeed is their goal. So even though the bomb doesn't go off, there's a successful attack because they've managed to scare people.
That's right. It is true.
And interfere in their day-to-day lives in a negative way. And we hope you'll come back and update us on this very important subject. Because
absolutely. June 6th in Lower Manhattan, near the site of the mosque, which is on Park Place. I'm not sure of the exact location right now, but it will... we're going to have a big protest there, and that will be the beginning. The organization behind it, the woman behind it is Pamela Geller. And, and her group is Stop Islamization of America. So it's Stop Islamization of America. And they are spearheading this protest down at Park Place to resist the mosque and the bad people that want to come here.
Well, we'll see. We want to keep this in the forefront and very calendar challenge. Today is May, this is the middle of May, pretty much. And that's just a couple weeks away, 3 weeks away, maybe. And,
right. It's very, very soon here. They've been working hard on getting this together. So, we're gonna show them. This is going to be a very big movement, just like our movement against the terror trials in Lower Manhattan. This will probably be even bigger than that.
It'd be a good idea to have you or someone else, if you're not available, come and talk about this again so we can maybe get more attention to it so we get a bigger turnout?
Absolutely. I'm in. I want to get the word out as much as I can.
Okay. And we'd like to thank Tim Brown for being with us. Tim Brown is from the Bravest.com.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.